Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Second act here. There's not some adaptive quality to his game. We already know that because he's not a tall guy, he doesn't really work the middle of the field or throw intermediate passes. We know that for years now, a guy who used to be mobile enough to make big plays with his legs on the run and was more dangerous sometimes when the protection broke down and was confident when the protection broke down, now he just kind of turtles and takes bad sacks on a regular basis. When he actually tries to escape, maybe at times he looks kind of fast, but as you pointed out, one of the worst plays of his season was a hero ball play. I just don't think he has the kind of game that ages well. Drew Brees aged better than a lot of these guys because he inexplicably, at his height, was really good from the pocket. But when his arm when his arm strength started to go, even he would have these same late-year breakdowns. Like, guys, he just couldn't get the ball down the field. Where is the better version of Russ that Russ seems to think is going to materialize next year if he's back here?
I give Ben credit. It still wasn't good enough, but Ben went from a guy that held onto the ball longer than anybody in the league to getting rid of it faster than anyone
in the
league.
I know, but at the end of his career, that actually became something even worse because he got rid of it so fast
True.
That teams had the book on him.
But at least he adjusted.
Well, I'm saying that is, yes, he adjusted much earlier in his career, though, than Russ is right now.
This guy thinks he's still going to, you know, check the ball down and throw the ball 40 yards downfield, and doing just those two things mixed in with him running the ball every now and then is going to propel the team to, you know, uncharted waters.
That's not a mature NFL passing game, as Starkey is fond of saying. It's just not. It's not a complex game. It's not hard for defenses to take away. I mean, you just basically say, dare the guy to do something other than throw it deep, put a safety over the top on George Pickens, and then just make sure you tackle guys when he dumps it off for 2 yards, which he also is not doing that good of a job.
Donnie, do you have any belief left in Russell Wilson?
No, I don't. I mean, if they run it back, it's going to be something similar, and they're going to do it at a price that's far more expensive than what it just was. So why would you put yourself through that? Like, you just got the guy at the bare minimum you could pay him. Now, why would you even be interested in $30-plus million a year?
Doug Whaley's take on that this morning was getting into the minds of the Steelers, which he can do because he worked for them, is that he thinks they could look at Russell Wilson and still believe if we're trying to just end a string of seasons without a playoff victory, among the available options, he's the one that gives us the best chance to do it in 2025.
I don't even agree with that. And I did at the start of Russell's
time
this year.
We've seen him win playoff games.
Yeah.
We've never seen Justin Fields
When's
do
the last
it. Kirk
time
Cousins
he won
has
one.
Only done one. Aaron Rodgers is too much of a loose cannon and is the oldest of these guys. And we saw his play completely fall off a cliff.
When's Russ's last playoff win? 2020?
Yeah, they beat the Eagles. They beat Josh McCown.
So he'll be going on, tears of McCown. I actually think as long as Arthur Smith doesn't get the Jets head coaching job, because I think he made it clear on multiple occasions, including very late in the season, he'd rather have Justin Fields in there as the starter. You tweeted to that effect even before the playoff game, Pony. I think their best chance of the guys that are available is probably Fields, because I think if you actually just say, hey, Arthur, the offense is for Fields. He is the quarterback next year. There isn't a 1A. He's not going to be dueling. I think that is the best chance you'd have. I don't think it's a particularly good chance to win a playoff game, but if you tailor an offense to Fields that's play action heavy, run heavy, quarterback run heavy, all that stuff, I think you have the best chance of winning a game. Just Russ's fall off at the end after the Bengals game is impossible to ignore. It really is.
Here's Johnny and Cranberry with a thought on all this. Hello, Johnny.
Hey guys. I'll put it this way. Yeah, I do still have faith in Russ. I'm not saying I'd sign him. I'm not saying I wouldn't sign him. I'm just saying It was far from only his fault. He had a terrible line. He had no one to throw to.
And do you expect the line to get a lot better by next year? I mean, I hope they do, but do you expect it?
I'm not just saying we should sign him. I'm just saying that you know, I don't think it was even half his fault.
So hold on a second, though. Who's assigned all the blame to him? No one. That's not the conversation we're having. We're not saying who's the person most responsible for the Steelers not making the playoffs. We're talking about not winning in the playoffs.
Compared to who else we could get, I still believe in him. And compared to Justin Fields, who can't hit the side of a barn from 3 feet away and has no touch on his passes and can't read a defense still in year four, I'd rather have
I didn't ask that Justin. Question. I didn't say Fields or Russ. I said, do you still believe in Russell Wilson, meaning believe this is a guy we can win playoff games with? And you're saying yes?
I do. Yes.
Who do you think had the higher completion percentage this year, just to put the old broadside of a barn thing under the microscope, of those two quarterbacks?
Yeah, but, I mean, they designed that offense.
I'm just saying he still completed more passes.
Wait a minute, time out. You're saying they designed the offense?
Higher percentage.
Okay. So, so when you watched Russ at the end of the Bengals game, you came away from that thinking, you know what, we can still win with this guy?
They add a couple pieces to the line and they get a number two receiver, yeah.
I don't think they're going to add a couple pieces to the line. I think that they're going to move Broderick Jones to left. They're going to put Fautanu back in at right. McCormick's a year older. Frazier's a year older. And they're going to have Seumalo. Their line.
Other than, say, the Eagles and the 49ers, and I would absolutely argue with the Eagles that even though he's a different type of quarterback, Jalen Hurts is better than Russell Wilson right now. And in San Francisco's case with Purdy, they like coached him to get the ball to the right people at the right times. So he fit their system. This idea that Johnny is trying to put out there that if you take care of A, B, and C, it lifts up Russell Wilson and you get a much better quarterback there. I just don't believe in that anymore. This is not like 1995 with Neil O'Donnell, and as long as the rest of the team is good or the defense is amazing, you can take a quarterback like that and compete for Super Bowls. It's like all first-round picks. It's all high-end guys.
People say
Of them in the primes of their careers.
People say Jared Goff is a guy who like needs the right system. Well, okay, he happens to be in it. He's still a 1-1 pick. And when Jared Goff is operating the system at a high level, he is tearing people apart. He's just dicing up some of the better defenses in the NFL with ease. Russ is not that guy anymore. Russ really never was that guy in Seattle, man. Like, he operated out of structure a lot. He did throw that deep ball. He could make plays with his legs. And it worked because they had that absurd defense around him on his rookie contract. But it's a totally different situation.
You got to try and find someone who can be a great to very good quarterback. Period. And I don't see how, I guess Johnny sees it, how you could have watched Russell Wilson over the last five games of this season and thought to yourself, yeah, he still got that in there somewhere.
They just didn't see eye to eye a lot. I was then told that, you know, they didn't have the best working relationship, but they, you know, they battled through it and did what they could do. It's not like it was peaches and cream all the time. But, you know, what's interesting is both of those guys separately are the nicest men in the world.
Steelers insider Mark Cabali. Wilson and Smith, like oil and water, did not have a very good working relationship. Had to fight through differences.
I don't know if I buy Mark's second part of that. Both guys separately are the nicest guy in the world in this sense. I think in a professional setting, Russ can be kind of a stubborn pain in the ass, I suspect. That's probably why Sean Payton got frustrated by him in Denver.
He said, quit kissing babies.
No, I'm talking about like going over game plans. I remember stories that they had to like kind of pull teeth to get Russ to stop doing certain things he wasn't good at anymore. I just think Russ is a guy who's got a lot of success under his belt, is very prideful, even though he puts on a great face publicly.
So he's like
publicly.
Ben. He wants to do it his way.
Well, I think one notable difference is Russ never says anything publicly that lets on that that's the case.
So he's just like Ben. He just has a better bedside manner about the way he talks to the media.
Do you think it's not better to keep that stuff in-house than to send messages through the media? I don't think it's great to have that tendency either way, but I think it's better to try to keep it under your hat.
I do, but I also think that players roll their eyes at the constant positivity, especially when it isn't all sunshine and rainbows.
I suspect that to whatever degree he might have done that with Arthur Smith in their conversations, Arthur Smith rolled his eyes. I mean, my antenna were up the second we heard we have to FaceTime Sierra, I have to FaceTime her because we're spending so much time together. That was a thou doth protest too much. Like, is it really hunky-dory? Why are you telling us stuff that sounds like it's out of a cheesy Disney football movie?
Here's Dan on Russell Wilson. Hello, Dan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm not in the Russ camp, not because I don't think he can't do the job. I just think he's going to cost too much. And
wait a minute. So you think he can do the job?
I do. Because I think we're having the wrong discussion here, fellas. I think that our line was atrocious this year, and I'm not saying that it's anybody's fault. I'm not a statistic analyst or anything, but what I saw on TV was Russ running for his life most of the time.
He got sacked a ton in Seattle, he got sacked a ton in Denver, and he got sacked a ton this year. Did he play behind three consecutive bad offensive lines, or does he just hold on to the ball too long?
Well, maybe he does hold on to the ball too long. That might be a good point. But, I mean, look at the common denominator here with the teams that are in the playoffs right now. Every one of them have a good line. I haven't seen an atrocious line yet on
100% wrong. Houston's line is probably one of the two or three worst in football, and everybody who watches their tape acknowledges that.
Yeah, I mean, they did play the Chargers.
Kansas City had one of the worst left tackles in the entire league. They went through three guys. Two got benched. One got hurt. They brought a guy off the street to play. He got injured. They had to pull an Alan Faneca and move their left guard to left tackle.
Also, their right tackle sucks and is a walking penalty.
Okay. All right. Well, you got me stumped there.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Scott's next. Hello, Scott.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey. I'm going to kind of piggyback a little bit off of what that gentleman was just saying, but just with this idea. I think if they let Justin Fields play in an offense, and hopefully Arthur Smith can do this, where it allows them to take advantage of his mobility. Now, I'm not saying he is not Joe Burrow by any means, but to what that caller said, the line for Pittsburgh, if you look back at the teams they played, and I'm no defensive coordinator in the NFL, but most teams, very few blitzed Pittsburgh. Most teams brought two guys up the middle, and both our tackles gave up the most sacks, I believe, in the NFL. So there was no way for Wilson to get outside, which forced him to step up in the pocket, which is most of the time where he took a sack, was in a scrum in the middle of the field. And I think if they can get that solved and get Justin Fields, to where he can play action, which everybody said before Arthur Smith came here and called his first play, that was one of his strong points, was establishing a running game and then being able to run play action, which would be rolling Fields out. Now, all of a sudden, you're putting pressure on teams. Pittsburgh put no pressure on teams. When Wilson dropped back the pass, it was sink or swim. Woody Hayes used to say, three things can happen when you pass them, two of them are bad. And that was the case with Russell Wilson for the Steelers this year. Now, just real quick, Joe Burrow, when I mentioned him, a lot of the balls Burrow threw over the middle, and one of the things you guys actually talked about when Pittsburgh was preparing to play him was to keep him from stepping up in the pocket and being able to dump the ball or to use his legs and run. Pittsburgh had zero threat of that this year.
I think both can be issues. I think the quarterback can be an issue. I think the offensive line can be an issue. I think the offensive line is an issue, even though they've spent a lot of time and money to try to make it better, including draft picks. If I have to pick one to clear up and fix, it's the quarterback, and it's not even close.
The quarterback is the most important position, and the quarterback requires getting the right guy in one spot, not five.
I mean, the first two callers, maybe I'm misinterpreting what they're saying, but it almost sounds like they'd rather have two new offensive tackles than a new quarterback.
I just don't, I guess, understand how you could watch Wilson overall and be like, oh, no, he's actually a great player waiting to break out again in his late 30s.
This should be fun. Postmortem edition of our weekly chat with Mike Florio. Pro Football Talk brought to you by JP Roofing. They do roofing and siding, Pittsburgh's hometown roofing experts. All right, Mike. We had a long discussion last week about what might happen or what could happen if the Steelers lost to the Ravens. They gave up almost 300 rushing yards. They got down 21 to nothing at the half. What big change do you anticipate happening now with this latest postseason defeat?
Well, at a minimum, we're going to see a new starting quarterback. I will be stunned, beyond stunned, if Russell Wilson is back in any capacity with the Steelers next year. Listening to Mike Tomlin yesterday in his end-of-season press conference, it looked like maybe the door's open for Justin Fields, but they're going to look and see what's out there. They're going to make their decisions. There wasn't anything unequivocal about either guy coming back, but especially not Russell Wilson, who said twice now publicly he wants to come back. I don't think he'll be back. If he's back, it means Mike Tomlin's got a pretty big blind spot for Russell Wilson. I don't think he does. I don't think he'll be back. And the quarterback carousel spins again with ideally the goal of finding a guy who's going to be the long-term answer. But if they have to kick the can and find a veteran for another year while they wait for a longer-term answer, so be it.
Do you expect them to make coaching changes based on what you heard out of Mike Tomlin in his season ender?
Not necessarily, although you can always see some staff changes. I thought it was intriguing the way that the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jerry Dulac, worded the report on Tomlin's future. He didn't say Tomlin is coming back. He said they're not planning to make a coaching change, which to me could have been interpreted as an invitation to any other team out there to make us an offer, call us up, let's talk about a possible trade. We explained that the coach has to want to go along with that for it to work, and why would Mike Tomlin go along with it? If they don't want me here, fire me. I'll sit out for a year or take another job right now. Full pay if I sit out. I'll have my pick of jobs next year. Bottom line, there's no point trying to trade for me, and that's basically what we said yesterday. Save your time. So I doubt they're going to, at this point, it feels like it's already shifted into 2025 mode. Not long after the 2024 season ended. And one of the things I said on PFT Live today, if I'm a fan, if I'm a customer, I still want someone to be upset about what happened. I want someone, and preferably Tomlin, to say, hey, that was not Steeler football on Saturday night. And I personally apologize to all the paying customers for the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers did not play Steeler football. And I make it my one mission in the short term to identify any player who was wearing a uniform that doesn't deserve the right to continue to wear that uniform. I would want to hear that. With one caveat, I don't know how many guys had the flu that they were not disclosing. When the report comes out that Patrick Queen's got the flu and he was never on the report, the injury report, as being ill, I don't know how widespread that was. They clearly hid his flu if he did have the flu and it wasn't just an excuse. Mm. But, man, it wasn't what we're used to seeing from the Steelers, especially in single elimination settings. And if I'm a fan, I'm upset, and I want to get the feeling that Tomlin and others high up in the organization are upset too.
But I would need that to manifest in them doing things differently. Like, it's one thing to be angry, but then how do you channel it? And even if he did strike that chord yesterday, Mike, I would just think he was doing an acting job for his audience and that real substantive moves or changes to adapt or evolve would not actually happen.
And that's okay. Sometimes you just got to say things. You got to say things. There are certain occasions.
I think we're well past the point of that, though.
Things to be said.
I think we're past that point.
What's that?
I think we're past the point of just saying things to try to sound good. Do you think most NFL teams would fire a coach who's gone 8 years without a playoff win? Are the Steelers unique?
Depends on which team it is. Look, there are plenty of teams out there that would love to be in the playoffs on a regular basis for the past 8 years without a playoff win. You know, just like with Mike McCarthy. Who wants Mike McCarthy? Well, any team that would like to win 12 straight regular season games or 12 regular season games 3 years in a row. The thing that bothers me, and this isn't just an observation from yesterday, Tomlin didn't seem bothered by what happened on Saturday, either at halftime or afterward. And the players didn't seem bothered. They seemed surprised. Why are you surprised? They just kicked your asses on that same field a few weeks earlier. Why are you surprised that it's happening again? And when John Elway, who was the GM of the Broncos at the time, fired John Fox, the coach of the team 10 years ago, 1 year after they went to the Super Bowl, Elway said, I want to see us going out of the postseason kicking and screaming. And I didn't see a lot of kicking, and I didn't see a lot of screaming on Saturday night. And that's related to what I was saying about the press conference from Tuesday. But at a deeper level, where is the passion? Where is the fire? Where is the fight as it's all going down the drain? That would bother me too. And I'm a Tomlin guy. But yeah, sometimes you get to a point where it's like, you know, everybody benefits from a fresh start.
What do you make of his answer to the final question of that press conference? Mike DeFabo and The Athletic had the report, and then Tim Benz asked the question of him about George Pickens reportedly being only showing up an hour and 25 minutes before the Christmas game against Kansas City, and Tomlin essentially saying, don't know what to tell you about that one.
Well, it's funny because I don't know how many times he used this phrase yesterday, more than three. To be quite honest with you, is a crutch that pops up.
Oh, that's now, his new one. We turn that into a drinking game. If people do that, they're completely in the bag by 12:15.
Yeah, to Mike. Me, that's a tell, Mike, that he actually is not being quite honest with everybody. That tends to follow statements.
Right. I mean, the one thing you could say about anytime someone uses to be quite honest with you, well, everything you said before you said that wasn't the truth, or this is the point where I'm going to lie to you. And just let me tell you, General, anybody out there that develops that same habit to say, you know, honestly, or to be honest with you, say candidly, or to be candid with you. Because when you say to be honest with you, it does imply that without that preface, you're not being honest. You mean candid. And it is his tell, it is his crutch, and it does feel like he wasn't telling us the truth. How would he not remember from less than a month ago that George Pickens supposedly blew into the locker room an hour and what?
After the inactives were announced is the key part. And after they had to announce their inactives.
Right. So this guy's missed multiple games with a hamstring injury. We got to put his name on the list or not. We don't have the benefit of seeing him on the field for pregame warmups. I would like to think that you remember that. And that's one of those where if you don't remember it, something's wrong. If you do remember it, something's wrong from the fact that it happened. And I love Pickens too, but it's time for them to move on from George Pickens. And maybe he's playing that game just so they have some trade leverage when they try to move him. But man, if I'm another team, I'm not touching the guy, because we've seen Tomlin keep guys like Chase Claypool under control until we found out elsewhere or late in the day that there was an issue. Pickens has been an issue for 2 years now. Mike Tomlin's magic doesn't work on him. If Tomlin can't keep him under control, nobody can.
Mike, how about what you said regarding their quarterbacks? You said Russ, you'd be absolutely shocked if he's back, and you pretty much said the jaw's ajar for Justin Fields. If not one of those two guys, then who? A Steelers quarterback in 2025.
You know, he made the point about draft picks, and they asked him about drafting high enough to get a franchise quarterback, and he said, well, Lamar Jackson was the 32nd pick, and Jalen Hurts was the second round. Like, I don't think you want to remind people you took Terrell Edmonds instead of Lamar Jackson when you could have had him back in 2018. And there was a lot of tiptoeing around Ben Roethlisberger, and this is what happens. Folks, keep this in mind. If you're fans of the team and you live long enough to see the next time there's a franchise quarterback in his final years with the Steelers, don't be so deferential to your franchise guy that you blow your chance for his replacement. The Ravens didn't think twice about nudging Joe Flacco aside when they got Lamar Jackson, and he was 3 years younger than Ben Roethlisberger. I think they spent way too much time bending over backwards for Ben. I'm sure you guys have heard this too, that last year, that contract they offered him, they didn't want it to be so low to be an insult. They didn't want it to be so high that he'd take it. They picked a number, and they picked wrong because he took it. They were ready to move on before his last year. You just got to be ready to turn the page. You can't just – it's never going to be easy. It's never going to be seamless. Hell, they didn't draft Dan Marino because they thought Terry Bradshaw still had more gas in the tank, and they didn't have an awkward transition, and Bradshaw played one more game in his career. You can't worry about that. When the opportunity arises, you got to take it, And that's the balance this year. You're going to have somebody under contract to be the starter before the draft. If the opportunity arises during the draft to get a guy that could be the answer for the next 10, 15 years, you got to take him. If you believe. They believed with Kenny Pickett and they were wrong. Let's see what they believe this year.
Mike, I know I asked you about coaching changes, but there is one that might be out of their hands. How serious of a candidate do you think Arthur Smith is to actually get the New York Jets head coaching job?
Well, unless they have absolutely no one else. I mean, whoever's going to take that job is going to be somebody who has no choice. Now, I don't mean that as an insult to Arthur, but here's the reality. Guys who just got fired and had 1 year to turn it back around and get back into the conversation and didn't have a great year, and it may not be his fault, the players may not have been good enough, that's not enough to sell to a fan base. The Jets are going to end up hiring somebody, I think, who doesn't have an option elsewhere. The Jaguars are going to hire somebody who doesn't have an option elsewhere. I'd be surprised if he goes, because when you've already been fired once, you better pick that next one even more carefully than you did the last time, because this is it. This is your last chance to have an NFL head coaching career. Not many guys get three without having some success at one of those two stops.
So I know, Mike, but it kind of reminds me of Byron Leftwich, though, in Tampa. You're a hot head coaching prospect until you're not, and then you're fired as an offensive coordinator, and then you're really screwed. Like, yeah, the Steelers are loyal to assistant coaches, but I think there's a better chance Arthur Smith is on the hot seat as a coordinator before he gets another head coaching opportunity beyond this year.
I think
he's
going to
get better
that.
Next year. I don't think so.
It is weird how Leftwich just disappeared. He just disappeared. He resurfaced for a day last week, but how do you go from being on the short list for head coaching opportunities to being unemployable in the NFL? It's very bizarre.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live every day. Chris Sims on that show said it's pretty much everybody's fault but Mike Tomlin, is what I heard, at least in some of the quotes that were.
I don't think he said
that. Well, he said the roster is not really his fault at all, which I completely disagree with.
I don't agree with that because, look, and here's the thing. Who actually is picking the groceries? Remember the old Bill Parcells line?
Yes.
They want me to shop the meal. They should let me pick the groceries. I don't know who to blame for the groceries because they do a good job of never taking credit. So then you never know who to blame. And it's a testament to the organization how they work together. So just, you know, they all should go to hell.
Well, if mom and dad go to the grocery store together, blame both. If mom and dad go, blame mom and dad. Don't have to pick one. Well, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin. Well, Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan. That's how I see it.
I still think Art Rooney's got a bigger spoon in the stew.
Malzi thinks Art Rooney's the real guy behind the Kenny Pickett pick that he
because
didn't want.
Because of the Dan Marino situation. He didn't want to be seen as the guy whose family passed on a Pitt quarterback that might be good twice.
Well, they definitely didn't pass.
Yeah, especially once Kenny got here.
Mike will have Texans and Chiefs Saturday. Mike, enjoy that one. We'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. See you.
There you go. Mike Florio.